begin. We're up to Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Beis. Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Beis. Kol Derech Ish Yosha Beinov V'Sachem Libo Sashem. Every person thinks that his way is the best. Kol Derech Ish. The ways of man Yoshar Beinov. A person does not have the ability to see his own blemishes. But V'Sachem Libo Sashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is within. Toichin Lo Loshon of Toch. Toch means within. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within the heart of a person, within a person's heart. Only Hashem really knows if a person's way is correct. A person fools himself into thinking that he knows best. But the truth is Hashem knows best. Let's see if we have the Mitzudos, what this means. Pasuk Beis, Yosha Beinov, Ki Einu Roye Choyve Li'atzma. Mitzudos, according to Chazal, Ein Adam Roye Choyve Li'atzma. A person does not see his own mistakes, his own defects. That is human nature. Nature, a person is biased against himself. But the Toichin, next words of the Mitzudos, Hashem Hu B'Soch Libo, V'Yodeya, Hashem is within. Miloshon Toch, the Yodea Imhu Yosha Darko Olo, or if his way is really correct or not. And I guess a person will have to give Din V'cheshbon if he made a mistake in going in the wrong way. And he needs Siyata Shmai that his Derech should be in line with Hashem's Derech. Rashi Pasuk Beis called Derech Ish Yosha Be'ina V'Toichin. V'Toichin. No, I don't know what this means. Maybe someone can help me with this.
It's a contraction
of what?
Word.
Oh, which word? Anyone know what this word is? I don't know what this word. I don't know. The seichen.
What you have to do is find another edition and.
I'm trying to find an edition to. Let me take a look. Let me take a look at this one. Maybe it has over here. Perichaf Aleph. Here he has it written out. And to count. Okay, so he is. Okay, I don't know what Rashi means here. V'soichen umoina, Kodesh Baruch Hu is counting what? Not exactly sure. However, I did see in the art scroll he has. I think from the Ralbag, maybe from Malbim, he has a whole different interpretation. V'soichen means the calculation. Maybe that's what Rashi is alluding to. Lashon of v'soichen levaveinu al tigrohu. In Parashas, what was it? Parashas Shemos, when Paro, Moshe told Paro, let my people go, Paro said, I see people have too much time on your hands. Too much time on your hands, therefore no longer will the Egyptians provide straw. From here on in, you will have to go out into the fields and collect the straw in order to make the cement. You will have to go and collect the straw yourself. And don't think because I'm giving you another job, I'm giving you more work, that you're going to, the quota is going to be reduced. You'll be able to produce less bricks. V'soichen lev, I don't remember the exact words of the pasuk, but v'soichen there in that pasuk means the calculation, the number of bricks will not be diminished. So here I think
it means content.
What?
Contents.
Well, it depends on the it depends on the contents. Right, Mitzudas mode is very clear. Mitzudas said the word v'toichen in this pasuk means toch, within. Hashem is within a person's heart, and Hashem sees everything, and Hashem knows. Hashem knows. But there's another word for the word toichen. Toichen can mean the number, the calculation. V'sochen levaveinu al tigrohu. You may not diminish the number of bricks that is required of you to produce.
Rosh Hashanah,
Sefer Umay. Sefer Umay, that's what Umay is. Here we have the word is the Toichen, the Seichen. Alright, so Rashi says to count. So seemingly Rashi means Umayna means to count. So what does it mean? The Seichen means the counting of Libos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi, okay, Rashi just says the word Umayna. The Ralbach says something else. Ralbach said that the Seichen of Libos HaShem means that there is no human being that really fully is able to grasp the magnitude of what of the MS of reality, of what is required of him, to see the big picture. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sochen, he compensates. In other words, a person does the best that he can, person does his ishtadlus, and Hashem is mashlim. Hashem concludes the measure that is required. So according to the Rabbah, the pasuk would seemingly be seen saying is called derech ish yashar be'enav. A person, every the derech of an ish is yashar be'enav, which means a person thinks that his derech is complete. Yashar here doesn't just mean that it's straight, that it's proper. It's complete, and he's not leaving out there any gaps. There are no holes that are being left out. He's covered from all sides. But the truth is, no matter how perfect a person thinks he is, there are always major gaps in what he needs to succeed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he fills in the gaps. V'soichen libayis Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he concludes what needs to be in a person's heart in order to succeed on his derech. It's a little bit vague, but that's how the Ralbag, I think that's the Ralbag, is learning Shah and the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compensating or is being mashlim what a human being is lacking. A person can only do that much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills in the missing gaps. Okay. The person then he's in a lot of trouble. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. A person on the wrong derech, a person is I don't know. Okay. But maybe there, you know, it's like the GPS. If you go on the wrong road, it doesn't make a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always... recalculating. Okay, we'll always take you. I was once traveling back from Boston. This is really bizarre. I was traveling back from Boston. I was totally spaced out. I wasn't paying attention, and I missed probably the most important exit. There's a part of the highway. The highway divides, and if you go the wrong way, it's really a nightmare to get back on the right derech. So I say, what am I going to do? I had a GPS. And it took me on the most convoluted through these side roads, these country roads, these roads you can't even begin to fathom. And I didn't lose any time. I didn't. If not for the GPS, no way. If not for the GPS, you would have no choice but who knows what, to go who knows miles and miles and make a turn, a U-turn, and go around and come back. It would be impossible. But you know, with the GPS, you see the big picture. You can get you anywhere. So there's no such thing as the wrong derech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get you where you need to go. A person makes a wrong turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide you through his means, his mahalchim, to get you where you need to be. Okay, so we have two interpretations. We have tochen means toch within. The Ralbag means tochen. Again, I don't have the clear picture. You have to really work with the parts. I don't understand what the Ralbag means, but it means the calculation. A person is limited. A person can only do that much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills up the measure. He fills up the quota of what needs to be done. Rashi just says v'sochen in zumone, to count, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts man's hearts. There are billions of people out there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts every single person's heart. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu count? I'm not exactly sure the significance of why Hashem needs to count how many hearts there are, but that's all I know, it says here. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, Asot Tzedakah Mishpat, a person should perform Tzedakah Mishpat, Nivchar LaHashem Mizavach, and the performance of Tzedakah Mishpat is more precious, is a more select than a zavach, than sacrifices. Let's first see the mitzvah's pasuk gimel. Pasuk gimel aso asiyos tzedakah mishpat. The performance of tzedakah mishpat nifcham beinei Hashem is more precious in the eyes of Hashem mehavah zavach than bringing sacrifices. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Now, yeah. Oh, correct. Correct, exactly. So this is an idea that is expressed numerous times. I have a number of midrashim I'll read to you in a few moments. An idea that is expressed numerous times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need sacrifices. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to be erluch, to be honest, to do tztaka bin adam lachavero, and to do mishpat bin adam lachavero, And sacrifices is not the ideal. We know that Shlomo HaMelech, we know that David HaMelech told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to die now. Hashem said, you die on Shabbos? He did not want to die on Shabbos. So Hashem said, it's better that you should be alive every one more day, because you doing tzedakah mishpat is more precious to me than the 1,000 oilos that your son Shlomo will offer every single day. So doing acts of tzedakah or mishpat are more precious before Kadosh Baruch Hu than korbanos. Okay, there are a number of things. The first thing is a very interesting marsha. There's a marsha in this pasuk. Marsha is a very simple grammatical question. It says here, tzedakah u'mishpat. How many items have been enumerated in this pasuk? Two. Tzedakah and mishpat. So shouldn't the verb be nivcharu? Aso, to do tzedakah u'mishpat nivcharu is more precious LaHashem, to Hashem, then mizavach, than offering sacrifices. Why is it written b'loshon yachid nifchar? Nifchar is not the correct word here. The correct word should be nifcharu, because there are two subjects. There is tzedakah u'mishpat. This is the question of the Marsha. Good question, yeah? What?
Grammatical point. Each individual item. Oh,
so that's a simple answer. So that's a very chiddush to say, is that a person doesn't have to do both. A person can focus on one or the other. You can just focus on doing tzedakah, or you can just focus on doing mishpat. And even one of those is more precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than bringing sacrifices. Being a good, honest, erlich person who does kindness, or being a person who is an honest, hardworking person, is more precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than sacrifices. That is the simple answer to the question. A deeper answer, given here in this Sefer called Das Chachamim, Divrei Chachamim, is that tzedakah u'mishpat are two halves of one whole. In other words, too much tzedakah is no good. Tzedakah has to be balanced with mishpat. You don't just give tzedakah to anyone who asks. Someone comes and asks for a handout, who says that he's for real? Maybe he's a charlatan. He's a phony. There has to be mishpat. Do you really deserve to receive tzedakah? If a person commits a crime, and the judge, according to the law, he's guilty, yes, should be locked up for the rest of his life. But the person repents, the person has remorse. And the person, it's not necessarily the best thing for the judge to exercise mishpat 100%. There has to be some tzedakah, some leniency. So too much of any one thing is dangerous and is harmful. Therefore, the reason why the pasuk said the word nivchar b'loshon yachid and not nivcharu is to bring our attention that these two concepts, tzedakah mishpat, are two halves of one whole. You have to balance, mishpat has to be balanced with tzedakah, and tzedakah must be balanced with mishpat. Okay, now let me read you a couple of very, very, very interesting midrash. These are very popular. It says here the first is, all this comes from Devarim Rabbah, the regular medrash. The pasuk says nivchar mizavach. The mem, this me means more so. The medrash comments that grammatically we would have expected the pasuk to write kizavach, equal tzedakah asot tzedakah mishpat nivchar. It's nivchar. It's chosen l'Hashem kizavach. Why is there a mem, not a chaf? A chaf connotes equality. That tzedakah mishpat is equal to bringing sacrifices. That's not so. Tzedakah mishpat is better. That's the point we want to make. Kizavach ein ksivkan elo mizavach. Ketzad hakarbonus lo hayu kurevim elo b'fnei abayis. In other words, karbanos were only offered bisman shabes hamikdash kayim, aval hat tzedakah, but doing kindness and hadinim and mishpat noy hagoyis bifnei habayis shlem bifnei habayis. Even when the base hamikdash was destroyed, there is no longer bisman hazeh. We no longer have karbanos, but we still have a requirement to do tzedakah mishpat. That goes to show that it's more precious to Hashem than karbanos. He always gave us the opportunity to do tzedakah mishpat. Okay, another gemara, another medrash. Hakarbanos in mechaprim ella b'shoigek. Why is tzedakah mishpat better than a karban? A karban generally only atones for sins that were done b'shoigek, whereas tzedakah mishpat, the Medrash says, is mechaper bein l'shoigek bein b'mezid. A person who's an avarian, did avarius b'mezid, also can get a kapara through doing tzedakah, giving tzedakah, and doing mishpat, being honest. Another gemara. That's all of this is Devarim Rabbah. All of this is a Medrash. Medrash Devarim Rabbah, Perikei Pasuk Gimel, Section Gimel. Another Medrash. Hakarbanos Eino Haigos Ela B'Tachtonim. Now, I have no idea what this is, spooky stuff. What this means, I have no idea what this means. But this means that Karbanos only exist in this world. You only can be a Karban in this world. But when it comes to doing Tzedakah Mishpat, you can do Tzedakah Mishpat in the next world. Everyone know what that means? No one ever came back to tell us what this means. But in the next world, there are acts of this. A lot of activities up there in the next world.
That was for the
what? Because what does that mean? That's a stalker. You're doing stalker. Mishpat. What does it mean that a person does mishpat in the next world? What does that mean? Have any clue what that means? That a neshama in the next world does an act of mishpat. Okay, we don't know what this means, but this is what it says in Chazal. It's korbanos ein hagen ele b'tachtoinim v'ilu tztoko v'adinim v'aigim b'ein b'alinim b'tachtoinim. Now, it's also a little bit problematic because we do know that there are korbanos in the Shemaim as well. There's a Yerushalayim Shalmaila that corresponds to the Yerushalayim Shalmata. And the Gemara says that the Michal, the Sar HaGadol, is oimed and is makrif korbanos in Shemaim. And in fact, every single day in the Shemon Esrei, it says, Hashem l'chim yamchay shalom v'isfilos v'yashay 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 v'yashay. Israel. What does it mean Hashem should accept the Ishei Yisrael? So there are two interpretations. This is the last Tosfos in Masechta Menachos. Either it means that in Shemayim, the Michael, the Malach, is offering sacrifices on the Mizbech Shalmaila. What is that? What are the sacrifices? The Neshamois of Tzadikim.
Even though
our
base down here is destroyed,
that's what it says. That's what it says in the Gemara Masechta Menachos. Last Tais Masechta Menachos. V'ishei Yisrael. Tais there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the sacrifices that are being offered in heaven. What does that mean? And Michael, the Sar HaGadol, he takes, it's brought before him, the neshamos of tzaddikim, and he puts them on the Mizbeach of Shalmaila, and he offers them as sacrifices. Do we have any clue what that means? Absolutely not. But we say this in Shemona Esrei every single day. V'ishei ritzei Hashem Elokim b'yamcha Yisrael. Hashem, may you find favor. B'yamcha Yisrael uvisfilasam v'yashev es avoda l'dvir be'secha, and may you restore the avoda. V'ishei Yisrael usifilasam be'ahava sekabel baratzan, and may you accept with goodwill the ishei Yisrael and their prayers. The prayers that are being offered here in this world and by tzaddikim in Shemayim, and also the Ishei Yisrael, the sacrifices that Michal the Malach is offering before you in heaven through the neshamos of tzaddikim. That's what it says. That's what it says in Tosfos, according to one interpretation. Now that's only, by the way, that's only if you put the dot. If you look in the Siddur, if you look in the art scrolls, there's a difference between the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfar. It's not necessarily true to Ashkenaz and Sfar, because many Ashkenazim and Sfar do just the opposite. But where do you put the dot? Where do you pause? One more time. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu bi'amcha Yisrael uvis filosam. Period. That everyone. V'hashev es ho'avoda lidvir be'secha. The Ishe Yisrael, period, or the Hashem Esavod Lidvir Beisecha, period, and then the Ishe Yisrael Usafil Asam. So if you put the period after the Hashem Esavod Lidvir Beisecha, period, And then when you say V'ishay Yisrael Usufilosam V'avos Sekabel, that means Hashem, now today you should accept the offering, the sacrifices of the neshamos of the tzaddikim that are being offered before you by Michol Sar Hagadol. Now that means, that interpretation is basically telling us, not like what I just read to you from this medrash, because this medrash says that we have here a pasuk. The pasuk says that that tzedakah unishpat is more chaviv to Hakadosh Baruch Hu mizavach, and one of the interpretations is because tzedakah unishpat can be done in this world and in the next world, but sacrifices are only offered in this world. Tosfos and Menachos says it's not so. Sacrifices are also offered in the next world, whatever that means. All right, I want to point it out, but you don't have to read the ritzei. You can put the dot afterwards, which means v'yosheves havoda lidvir beisecha v'ishay Yisrael, and then it means we're asking, please Hashem, restore the Beis Hamikdash. Restore the avod, and also we beg of you to restore the sacrifices in this world. If you put the dot after the Ishei Yisrael, it's part of the Hoshev. It's part of the request that HaKadosh Baruch Hu restore the avod of the Beis Hamidosh. And that does that. That's the pshat in the Nusach HaTfilah. Nowhere is there an explicit mention, at least in the Nusach HaTfilah, that there are sacrifices in the other world. That would then be consistent with the way we just read the Smedrash, is that there are only sacrifices in this world, but in the next world there's this mystical concept where neshama can do tzedakah, and neshama can be involved in din.
The neshama
is not going to
be sacrificed,
they
totally destroyed.
I don't know what it means.
That's recycled.
No one ever came back to tell us what this means. Our dust, they're turned to dust. Tachas kanfei, tachas tzadikim.
Tzadikim will be recycled because they're everlasting.
Whatever that means, whatever, we don't know what these things mean. These are just words.
It would seem that way.
Okay. Right, that's what it says. Yeah, right.
Can't the simple meaning be that the Avodah Zarah is only in the presence of the Beis Hamikdash?
Well, that's the first. All around the world. Okay, that's well. By God, there is a concept that a guy is allowed to bring a sacrifice wherever he wants. Is that true? I'm not sure. Bezman shebeis hamidsh kayam, is a guy allowed to bring a carbon on a bama? A Jew is not allowed. But is a guy, is a non-Jew allowed to offer a carbon oila to Hashem in America? I don't know. I'm not sure. A Jew definitely cannot. Yeah, okay, that's true. Okay, it's okay. Echanami. Correct. It's a good interpretation. In the Beis Hamidrash, for sure, a guy could for sure bring kibesi beis tefila l'chol ho'anim. For sure, but outside the Mikdash, I do not know. Is there a halacha if a guy could bring what?
No.
A guy is not allowed to. And when is the Beis Hamikdash? To Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're not allowed to? Okay, fine, okay. Okay, let's see. Let's go to the next. Okay, there's one more medrash.
It's in the Torah.
But that's only for us. That's only for Bizman, for Klal Yisrael, but for the God. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, next pasuk. This concludes pasuk dalid. Rum einayim urechav lev near rishoyim chatas. The rum einayim. There are three different parts of this pasuk. The rum einayim means the uplifted eyes, the arrogance. A wicked person, he lifts up his eyes to see things that he should not see, or to have aspirations for grandeur, greatness that he does not deserve, or a chavlev of a wide, expansive heart to fulfill his Taivos, near Rishoim. Now, near Rishoim is a hard word concept to translate. Near literally means to plow. Now, we had this before, at least according to the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas always taught us, at least his opinion, is that the concept of plowing and working the land is a muscle for thought, the thought process, for the mind. When the mind is operating, plowing is when the mind is thinking deeply and planting seeds, ideas, which ultimately germinate and develop and sprout into action. So every time it says a concept of plowing or planting, it's a mashal for thoughts. So here we're discussing the thoughts of the wicked people. Let's see over the mitzvahs. So look at the first mitzvahs, the word near. Mitzvahs tzion, near. Inyan charisha, near means to plow. Kimo niroi lochem, near, you shall plow for yourself the field. V'hu mushal, it's a borrowed expression, al hamachshava, thought. Just like the word charisha, which means also to plow, it's another word for plow, which we had back before. Don't think, do not plow against your friend evil. And in that context, we interpret it to mean do not harbor evil thoughts. So just like choresh means plow, means machshava, near likewise here means a thought. Now with that idea, let's take a look at the David, Pasik Dalid, Rub, there are three parts of this Pasik, Zrubinayim, Derech Gase Haruach. It is the way of the arrogant. Loharim Einayim Klapimal, to look up. Loika Anavim Hamashpilim Einayim Lamatalar. It's not like common people which are looking down. Urechav Lev, Inyin Bakoshas Tanugim, the desire to have a pleasure. Harbe, Vehesav Lohem. And to fulfill a person's desires, near Rishayim hadvarim ha'ela, these two concepts halohema machshavos harishayim v'yachshavu lechatos, and it's considered to be a sin. So near Rishayim is coming to modify the first two parts of the pasuk, the rumeinayim and the rechav lev, the desire to lift up their eyes in arrogance, to be greater than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be greater than everyone else. So Rechav Lev, and to fulfill their divas, is near Rishayim, is the thought of the wicked, Chatos, and this before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered a grave sin. Hirashi, Rashi, Pasuk, Dalad, Rumeinayim, Gasei, Saruach, lifting up the eyes is a metaphor for arrogance, Rechav Lev, Chofetz, Lamalas, Tavos, Libo, they desire to fulfill the desires of their heart, who near, Rishel, Risham, the desire to fulfill their desires is the thought of the Rishayim. What does that mean? Rashi translates it the same way the Mitzvah says, Charishoysam u'machshavaysam hu chatosam, the plowing and their thoughts. He just, Charishoysam means to plow, which mean, in turn means thoughts. Hi chatosam, this is their sin. Okay, let's go further. Next pasuk. Pasuk K, continuation of this theme. Pasuk K says, Machshavos charutz ach lemosar, v'cholotz ach lemachsar. According to the similar interpretation, according to the Mitzvot, there are two different types of people who are acting very quickly. There's the charutz, and there is the otz. The charutz, both of them border on the concept of zerizos. People who are very swift. But sometimes Zerizos is good, and sometimes Zerizos is no good. When Zerizos, let's just make believe that we take the word Zerizos, we break it down into two different types of Zerizos. There's a Zerizos called Chorutz. Well, that is an error. Okay, that, besides Averu, but it also means a well-thought, a well-planned act. Chorutz means swift, but it has a connotation of swiftness being done with thought, with a plan, with a goal. Otz also means something done very quickly, but it's been done impetuously, without any plan, just on the spur of the moment. So it says, impulse. So you look to the person, to the observer. Both people are very good workers. One, they're both off to the race. Like, you know, you have a race, a marathon. So you have two people that are beginning to run. They're both running very quickly. But if one of them does not have a plan of how to, you may start, or you have to have a plan of when you go fast, when you go slow. Because if you're going to put out all your energy in the beginning of the race, you're going to fall behind at the end. There has to be a machshav, there has to be a plan of how to proceed. So that's what it says over here in the two different types. So if it's the machshavos, the thoughts of the charutz, the person that's a zoris, but he's a zoris, he's swift with a plan, ach lemosar will only result in benefit, will only result in good things. But the cholotz, on the other hand, a person that's very quick, but his quick actions are due to his impetuousness, his lack of thought and plan, ach lemachsar will only result in a deficiency, in something that's lacking. He will fail at the end. Okay, let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk. Hey, ach lemosar ein bohem dover batel. Ach lahavi yisrein ma a charutz, a person that's quick to do something very quickly with a plan will only result in benefit. V'cholatz hamemahar b'masav, someone's quick in his deeds, ein bohem davar revach, no good, there's no benefit. Ach lahavi oid chesrein ma will only result in something that is lacking. Now let's look at the Mitzudos Tzion where he defines the words a little bit better. Charutz, he this zoriz v'yashar. A person that's a zaris, but he's also an upright individual. An otz inyan mihirus k'mova otz lavo, it means impetuousness. Okay, Rashi explains it in a little more detail. Machshavos charutz, the thoughts of a charutz, adam yashar, a person who is yashar hamishalech be'emes of a mishpat charutz, and he goes in mishpat in the law of charutz. Of a charutz, I guess he's translating of your yosher and uprightness. Ach lemosar lehatzlocha ulerevach bos. His thoughts will come into plans, into actions that will result in benefit, hatzlocha and a profit. V'chol otz doichek es hasha. He now, I don't know, maybe Rashi is saying something different. Doichek es hasha. He pushes away. He's doichek es hasha. Maybe Rashi's not translating like the Mitzudas. Otz means mihirus. Possibly Otz here, Rashi translates to mean that he's lazy. He does not take advantage of a good opportunity. Okay, so that's seemingly...
He procrastinates.
The procrastinator. The whole Otz, the procrastinator, ach lemachsar, nothing good comes. So it appears that there's a major machlokes between the Mitzudos and Rashi. Mitzudos takes both of these people as reference to people that are very swift, but one of them is a zoriz the yoshar. He is an upright individual, so he has a plan, and the otz is a person who's impetuous, and that's the difference between the two. According to Rashi, Rashi really never even said the word choritz means a zoriz. All Rashi said was the choritz means an adam yoshar. So he never even said it means swift. Yashar is for benefit, and Otz, a lazy person who is a procrastinator, a good word.
I don't know, if you look in the Malbim,
yeah,
he uses that expression, but he expresses pretty much like Mitzudas. He says, I will call Otz, who doichek es hashah,
but yeah.
Inyan lasses take it, believe you in the
machshavah. Okay. He's doichek es hashah.
That's Rashi.
Even Rashi just stops there. Rashi just says deches asha. The Malbim thing is adding more words. He's deches asha by acting impetuously. Does not. Because otz really means swift. Otz does really mean, and that's at least the way we normally translate it, to be impetuous. So if that's the case, how does Rashi coming to say deches asha? So it has to then mean that he's not paying full attention to what's happening. All right, something along those lines. I don't really know more than that.
He goes a little further, actually. What it means, the Machzor, is
yeah.
He has the reason. Hakam shi tova v'masa,
yeah.
He tova v'machshava.
He's good in...
Too quickly.
Without the plan,
right.
then...
Ichor,
okay.
You have to plan slowly. You have to think of all the consequences.
Slow and steady.
Which one is the Machzor?
Slow and steady. No, only the charutz. No, ach lemosar.
While he acts quickly, but he does it without a plan.
No, the archi says you go to the
right.
You tell me the machshav has reasons.
Even though,
and
he tells
you
the machshav. Right, he doesn't plan.
The utz.
He doesn't delay his actions. He doesn't plan it out properly.
he lacks proper planning, doesn't have a program, doesn't have the plan. Okay, let's go. Pasuk Vav. Poal otsaras b'loshon shaker, a person who accumulates wealth through a slippery tongue, through a tongue of shaker, hevel nidaf. His success is equivalent to wind, to vapor. Vapor that blows in the wind, hot air. Mevak she moves, and this person ultimately is really seeking for himself death. Or some say it means he'll one day be suicidal. When he'll lose his wealth, his fortune, I think I saw that in the article, he explains like that, people who accumulate their wealth through falsehood, the day comes when the authorities catch up with them, and they lock him up, and they have all of their wealth is taken away from them. And the next thing you hear is, he commits suicide. He was locked up in the jail, and he took his own life, because his life has no value. So one more time, poal otsaros b'loshon shaker. I'll just read that translation, we'll see this. A person that it's a poal. Poal means he works. He works, he accumulates wealth. Otsaros means a treasure house. He accumulates vast wealth, but all of his wealth came through a Ponzi scheme. Shaker. It's a Ponzi scheme. Poal shaker, b'loshon shaker. You lie to one person to borrow from another person to another person, one thing another person. Such a person should realize the day of reckoning is coming, and all of his wealth, the otsaros that he has stored up, will ultimately turn into hevel nidaf. Hevel is vapor that blows away in the wind. And then what's going to happen to this person? He'll have no reason to live. He may be a young person, but his life is not worth living because of his terrible sins and what he has done to himself. Mevak shemaves, he will seek death. That's a very frightening thing when a person no longer has a desire to live because of his wrongdoings. Okay, let's take a look at the apostle. Let's take a look at the apostle. Vav in the mitzvah. Those stuff. Paul, hamaasef otsaros al yidei loshon sheker, person that collects wealth through lies. Hema, though that wealth hevel nidaf, that wealth is worthless, vapor that blows. Kilo yiskay mubiyado vivak shodes hamaves, and he will seek his own death. Ki hema sibo lamus al yadam, when a person does this to himself, he's setting himself up for the end of his own life. Period. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav poal otsaros laharbos hon, a person that poal, he works. Otsaros means money. Laharbos hon, to increase his wealth. Beloshon sheker, through words of falsehood. Hevel nidav gomer moik shemavis. Now he's pointing out over here, there's another girsa. Shocking thing, Moksha Mavis Haim Lo, it's death to him. The shock, how often do you ever have in a pasuk a question what the correct girsa is? It's almost never. Very, very rare. Okay, we in the Torah there's kemat no place except for Ptsuadaka. Ptsuadaka, a person who has a crushed testicles. Ptsuadaka, do you spell Daka with a hay or do you spell Daka with an aleph? Right, that's nafkmin between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim spell it with an aleph, I believe, and Sfardim spell it with a hey. The only exception is among the world of Ashkenazim, Lubavitch. Lubavitch, they spell it. They spell like the Sfardim. So big shail, if you go, you have a Lubavitch, a Sefer Torah. If you have a Sfardi, it's not again because the Sfardish and Sefer Torah are written in a different ksav velish. So we don't come in contact with that. So if you're an Ashkenazi, the daven a regular Ashkenaz shul, you're never gonna have in the shul a ksav velish. There's a whole shayla that you can be yotze if you get an aliyah. If you go to a Sfardish shul and they give you an aliyah, are you yotze kriyas haTorah? Are you allowed to take an aliyah? It's machlekes sapoiskim. Some say you are allowed to take an aliyah from the Sfardish Sefer Torah. Some say you don't take a aliyah from that. But that's not so common. But what is more common is this thing. This is a shayla. If you have a Lubavitch Sefer Torah in an Ashkenazi shul, it's not so uncommon. And you look there, you'll discover that the only exception is that Ptsuadaka is spelled differently than most of our Sefer Torah. So if you're accustomed, if you're not a Lubavitch, are you Yotze, can you make a bracha? So different opinions on this also. It's not so simple. I think Rav Moshe was Makel. Rav Moshe says you can it's okay, even though it's spelled with a different letter, Aleph Hey, it's okay. But how often do you have in Tanakh? Okay, you go through Nach, Nevim, Ksuv, there are many words. There's always the Kivach Sif, but how many words do you have a situation with the Shiloh, what the actual word is? It's an entirely different word with a different meaning.
And a chanami,
so it's a whole different word. Is it mevakshe to seek, or is it mokshe? You take out with a vav. Mokshe means to it's a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block, a trap of death, a trap of death to be involved in a Ponzi scheme. I think this is really describing a Ponzi scheme, because you're belushain sheker. You promise someone, lend me money. Give me money, and I'll pay back an astronomical return. And then you take that money that you've received in order to pay back, to give the dividends to the people that you scammed in before. And you keep on doing this again and again and again and again. And how long can it go on for? I don't know. Sometimes it can go on for a long time.
20 years.
Sometimes it can go on for a long time until you get caught. Okay, okay, so this is called a mikshe. Is it mikshe? Mevakshe. Rashi points out there's another girsa, a very unusual type of thing to have in the pasuk. Okay, let's see. The next. One second. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Shoid Rishaim Yigoyreim. Now the word Yigoyim is a very hard word to translate. It would be easy to translate it as the cause, Gorama. And indeed some of the commentators use that as its translation. And let's loosely translate it with that word, because it's a very simple translation. Yigoyim ki me'anu la'asos mishpat. Basically means that Shod means the robbery, the theft of the wicked is the cause of them from not doing justice. In other words, you get sunk, you get deeper and deeper into a life of crime. There's no way to pull out of it. There's no way to do mishpat. In the beginning, it's just it's a small nesayin. You cheat a little bit on the taxes, just a few dollars, but it's a slippery slope. Once you start taking a bribe, or you start cheating a little bit, the next time you got to do a little bit more, and a little bit more. And you get to a point where you find yourself so deep in debt, and in a web of lies, there is no way for you to get out. And the lesson is, don't start. Once you start a small amount, it's addictive, you're going to bury yourself, you're going to sink deeper and deeper in this hole, and there's no way to get out. The shod, the robbery of the Rishab, when the robbers, they begin to steal the people, the fact that everything that they have in their possession is theft, is stolen, Yigoyreim, it prevents them. It is the cause of them being unable to pull themselves out. Ki Yigoreim, it's the cause, ki me'anu lasos mishpat. Preventing, me'anu means to refuse, to prevent themselves from ever doing justice in this world. That's one translation when we assume the word Yigoreim means the word grama as a cause. However,
it means the cause.
But no, ki has many meanings. Ki in the Rashi says it means four things. Shod Rishayim Yigoreim, ki that. Ki in this context would mean that me'anu, they will furthermore in the future refuse. There's nothing you can do to persuade them to seek mishpat in this world. Because if they seek mishpat, they have to look at themselves in the mirror and realize that they are a fraud. Their whole life is fraud because everything they have came from shod, from robbery. Okay, that's not the way the Mitzudos and Rashi learn. They take the word yigoreim, lashon of fear, terror. Lashon of Magar. If you look at the Mesudo Sion Yigoreim, Lashon Magar Upachat, V'chein Meguras Rasha, the fear of the evil of the Rasha. So what it means then is the Shod Rishaim Yigoreim. Let's see the Mesudo Stavid. Shod Hagezel Atzmo Yavi Aleim Pachat brings upon them fear. Kimei Anu Lasos Mishpat. They refuse to do Mishpat Lahashiv Hagezel Lebalav. To return the theft to the owner. So they live a life of fear. when they rob from someone, the fact that everything they have in their possession is stolen, they're always afraid that they'll be caught. They'll always be afraid, so their whole life is a life of daiga, of worry that any moment they'll be caught. And why do they choose to live like this? Kime anu lasos mishpat. They refuse to return what they've stolen. If they would return what they've stolen, no one would come to look for them. Because if everyone has what they're supposed to have, then the police are not looking for the criminals. Because they refuse to return what they've taken illegally, so they have in their possession property that does not belong to them, the authorities are looking for them, and that caused them to be afraid that they're going to be exposed, and they're living a life of fear. Rashi, Pasik, Zayin, Yigareim, Yogur, Osam, it terrifies them. Their own crimes bring upon them fear of getting caught. Okay, let's go to the next Pasik. Pasik, Ches. Pasuk Ches says, "Hafach bach derech ish v'zor v'zach yashar polo." Now, hafach bach means a wishy-washy person. Some say in the article there's a footnote that says someone is just the word a hypocrite. A hypocrite. The etymology of the word hypocrite comes from the word hip, hop. We have a fey. Okay, it's an idea. Where do all languages come from? I'm sure hypocrite must be some Latin. It has some Latin root. And where does Latin come from? So this is all a big debate among etymologists. Where do all words come from? A very good book. I wonder if we're going to do a book review, a Sefer review on this new book I mentioned from this Rabbi Klein, who put out a book about the Hebrew language. And many want to suggest that all languages are derived in some way and form from Lashon Kodesh. And here we have the word ha-fach-pach, and clearly from the commentators it means a hypocrite. You say one thing, you do something else, and if you say the pay is really a pay, hap, and kof, there is some similarity between the word hypocrite and hap-kipach. There's some connection. Right, by Mosenson?
Yeah.
Is Mosenson? Yeah, yeah. I'm a shpacha with him, yeah. So yeah, there are a lot of books. That's not the only book there are. A lot of books, yeah. I'm a shpacha with him through my so there are a lot of books like this. There are a lot of books, and there are a lot of books that are very critical of this approach.
Yeah.
The books both ways. That it's yesh v'yesh. But it's an interesting idea to say the word hypocrite comes from this word hapachpach. Derech ish is the way of an ish vizar, of a man who is a split personality. Sometimes he's called an ish. Ish has a connotation of an upright person. Ish, Noach ish tzadik, tamim hoya b'dayroisav. A zar is a stranger. Stranger means you're strange to yourself, you're strange to society, you're acting in a very strange way. You're doing things that are not accepted in society. Though sometimes you're an ish, and sometimes you're a czar. That type of person is called a hafachpach. Hafachpach,
Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Hyde, a person that has a split personality, hafachpach, is, what is that? The process really, according to the interpretation, is we're defining. A hafachpach is a person that has a derech, that's sometimes ish, and is sometimes czar. Sometimes he's noble, he appears to be a very good person, and sometimes, what in the world did he just do? What is this guy? This guy is a strange bird. But on the other hand, sometimes he's a really wonderful person. He's an ish. That is the meaning of a ha fachpach. But v'zach yashar polo, but the one that is pure, and the one that is v'zach, the one that is zach, meaning a person that doesn't have these shenanigans. Zach means he's pure. There's no two sides to him. Shem and zoch. There are no impurities. Him, Yashar Paulo. He's not like the hapachpach. He doesn't switch back and forth. He's a straight shooter. He's Yashar. His actions, his behavior is always consistent. You can rely upon him. Let's see the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Ches. Hapachpach. Hamis hapech b'masav, a person that changes his deeds. Pam kach upam kach upam behebech. Hinei behol pam derech ishloi. Sometimes he's a noble individual, an ish tzaddik. Upam huzar ben aderech. He's a strange bird. He does strange things. Avlo ish hazach. But the person that's a zach, a pure person, Paulo Yashar b'choleis, consistency. There's nothing greater in this world than consistency. You can have faith that this is the way it's going to be. B'choleis b'bli hishtanos. You don't have to worry. There's going to be any deviation from the norm. Okay, that's Perish of Rashi. Very straightforward. Pshan the pasuk apachbach. We're now defining what is apachbach. Sometimes derech ish, and sometimes it's a derech zor. But the zach Yashar Paulo Rashi. Hapachbach derech ish v'zar ish v'hu zar. Rashi is a little bit different. Same idea. Ish v'hu zar. I don't know, different. Maybe it's something. Sometimes he's an ish, but at the same time v'hu zar. Sar min hamitzvah darkai hapachbach. He turns away from the mitzvah. Darkai, his way is hapachbach. Sometimes like this, sometimes like that. He's a strange creature. That's called hapachbach. Alright, so it seems to be pretty much the same thing that the Mitzvah stuff it says. Now, there are a number of Midrashim. And all the Midrashim, pretty much, the first Midrash, they apply who is the subject of this person, of this pasuk. So the first Midrash says that the subject is Esav. Al mi ne'emar. You always have to ask that question when it comes to Pesukim and Mishlei. Al mi ne'emar. Who is the subject? Who is the individual from Tanakh that we are just focusing on? Esav. Esav was Tzayid Befif. He was the ultimate hypocrite. The ultimate ha-pach-pach. He told us, asked his father, how did he give Meiser? He asked him, Lomish, a Shilas, a Shir Klali, on giving Meiser from salt and Teven. On the other hand, he was a Rotzeach, he was a Oisik in Gilei Arayish, Vichastamim, you name it. You name it, he did it. So he is the subject. He was sometimes a Derech Ish, he presented himself to be an Ish, a good person, but the other, he was a Tzayid, he was an Ish Zar. What was the Zar? So here the Medrash, for some reason, it says very specifically, Shazar Atzmai Lemila, the Zar Lemitzvahs. Specifically, Esav refused to have a bris mila. When Esav was born, this is the famous Medrash, when Esav was born, he was red. He was very red. And the doctors were afraid that he might be a homophiliac. Hemophiliac. He'll bleed out. So they decided no bris mila. Then when he got older, there was new technology, and they did some blood work, and they say he's fine. He just has a red complexion. He's no hemophiliac. He is A-okay, no different than anyone else. His blood clots, ganz fine. He's good. He's good to go. But at that point in time, when the blood test came back, he was already an adult. He was already his own man. So he had to consent to bris mila. So his father Yitzchak says, "New Esav, my kind, when are you going to do the bris mila? The blood test came back. You're okay. I'm not yet ready. I want to be a Baal Mandrega. I want to first finish Shas. I should do the bris mila." Like Avraham Avinu, he was 100 years old. He was 99 years old. He was a Sholem. I want to finish Machzor Shas just on Ksumis. Let me finish Masechta Ksumis. And he kept on pushing it off, one to another, until ultimately he never had the bris mila. So he did it with Kavana. He did it because he really didn't want to do bris mila. He did it on purpose. He was he faked out his father. He's an ish zar. So that's how the Medrash interprets. Now then it goes on to say, here's what's very interesting about the end of the pasuk. The zach, according to the Medrash, the subject is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the pure one. There's nothing more pure than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yashar Paulo, his actions are perfect. He rewards Esav in this world in order to drive him out of the next world. Esav was given the Olam Hazeh, Italia Shel Yavon, he was given Mishmani Haaretz Moshavecha, all of the best Kashmis, in order to punish him for his evil ways of being a hypocrite, a hafachpach. That's how the Medrash Mitzvah. Hafachbach derech ish v'zar esav, but v'zach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosha Polo. Hashem is correct in rewarding him in this world to deny him reward in the next world. Period. That is the first interpretation. Second interpretation is not exactly the same thing, but instead of telling the subject is Esav, the subject is the Umos HaOlam. The Umos HaOlam are hypocrites. And one day like this, one day like that. One day they make believe they're our best friend, the next day they're our biggest enemy, and they stab us in the back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards them in this world in order to drive them out of the next world. Okay, third interpretation. Now this is a little bit more scary. HaPachpach, here the subject is Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael is not, they're not true to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have sinned terribly. They have the hypocrites. Ki, what's the pasuk? Where do we find this expression of HaFachpach in the Torah? Ki dar tapuchai seima. In Parashas Hazinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring Churban upon Klal Yisrael because they are dar tapuchai seima. They keep on switching. One day they do mitzvos, one day they do averos. They promise, they don't fulfill. So it's a musar that's being applied to Klal Yisrael. Why are we called? We call the ish. So he quotes a pasuk in Shoftim, the ish Yisrael nishba by Yom Huleimar by Pelegash Megivah. It's a very interesting pasuk. The entire Klal Yisrael is called an ish, because then we find that term used by Pelegash Megivah, the ish Yisrael nishba. They swore no one should marry from the Shevet of Binyamin. And the whole Klal is called an ish. And we're also called the Zar. We're called the Zar. Bahashem Bogadu, Pashtuk and Hoshea. Kibanim Zarim Yaladu. They gave birth to strange children, which either means Mamzerim, or they gave birth to children that did not go in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a Pashtuk and Hoshea, which clearly calls Klal Yisrael Zarim. So we're called Ish, we're called Kidar Tapucho Seima, we're called Ish, the Ish Yisrael Nishma, we're called the Zar Bashem Magadu Kivonim Zam Yuladu, and then when it goes on to say Vizach Yashar Paloi, here it means just the opposite of the previous Medrash. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes us in this world. It's a tzur tamim paolo ki chol derechav mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us in this world in order that we should merit olam haba. Because we're fakers and we do averos, so we need to be punished to cleanse us, to purge the sins in this world for the next world. Mamash pum fakert. So who is the subject and who is the of this pasuk? Okay, that and then one last interpretation. Okay, that's really it. So, Sach HaKol, there are two Mahalchim in the Medrash. Either it's Esav / Umos HaOlam, that's the Derech Ish Mizar, and the Zach is the Kadosh Baruch Hu to reward them in this world, or Pumfakert. The Apachpach is Klal Yisrael, who is called an Ish Mizar, and the Zach Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yosha Polo, who punishes us in this world in order to grant us the ultimate reward in the next world. Okay, let's go to Pasik Tes. Pasuk Tes Toiv Losheves Alpinas Gog Neishes Midyonim Uveis Chaver. Better be homeless than sit at home with a wife that fights with you. That's what it says. Okay, I talk and know people like this. They escape their home because I actually heard someone saying this in a kailo. What? Not this kailo. I know of another kailo where actually a person says he can't stay at home with his wife. His wife drives him crazy, so he has to get out of the house. Very sad story. That's what it is. Toiv Losheves Alpinas Gag. Two, better to be homeless, to sit on the top of a roof, the corner of a roof. Now, it's not so pleasant to go up to the roof. It's windy, it's cold, there's rain, there's snow, there's ice, there's no shelter. There's no shelter, you can fall off. It's not a very pleasant place to be on the corner of the roof. Where would you rather be? You'd rather be in a base chaver. You'd rather be in your home of chaver full of friends. But the only problem is, in that home of your friends, there's the eshes midyonim. Midyonim means a quarrel, fights. His wife does not let him live. She drives him crazy. So better go into Solomon solitude, even though you're not going to be sheltered from the environment, then be at home in the presence of your family when you have to fight. Fighting is not very pleasant. Let's see for more precise translation. So this chaver means, okay, it's not a home of companions. Chaver means a house. We are of companions. Chaver means friends. At home, you have your children. You have your friends. There are people who are in your home that are your friends, and you would like to be with them. The only problem is your wife is also there, and your wife doesn't let you live. Everything you do, she complains and drives you crazy. So better give up the comfort of the bias. Give up the comfort of your companions, yichaverim, the chaver, and be all alone on the roof in solitude, exposed to the environment, so that you should not get into a fight with your wife.
Or go to kolo.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos. Al pinas gag, mibli. What does it mean? The corner of the gag. The problem is al mibli maksem. There is no shelter. Mizerem, from rain. Umimatar, from rain. Two different from a torrent. Zer means a storm, and from rain. Viachidi mibli chavuros anoshim. When you're on the roof, you're all alone. You don't have a companionship. Me eshes. Why should you go there? Because what is the alternative? To be home and be in the companionship. Me esh the wife. Milasheves in eshes midyonim. To sit with a wife who fights with you, af bebeis, even though bebeis chavuras anoshim. Even I think I'm not sure I'm reading it right, but I think the saying is even though the bias, you have the benefit of being among a group, a chavuras anoshim, a group of men, a group of people. At home, your children are there, your nephews, your cousins, your brothers, the family. You go home, there's a whole family, there's a group of people. There's an activity. There's someone to talk to at home. But there's also the wife. And the wife is making trouble. There's some bad blood between the two. Better run away from the comfort of the bias and from the chover, the companionship. Let's see Rashi, ubeis chover, shenichnas lebeis chana. He Rashi has a whole different interpretation. Rashi has a whole different interpretation. Rashi says over here, eshes midyonim means shenichnas lebeis chover ledabrim isho. It's not your wife. It's your friend's wife. You want to flirt with an eshes ish. Flirting with an eshes ish will ultimately lead to problems. Midyonim means quarrels. Who are you going to quarrel with? Two people. Your own wife. When your wife finds out that you're having an affair, it's not going to be very pleasant. And when your friend finds out that you're having an affair with his wife, it's also not going to be very pleasant. So midyonim is plural. It's two different battles you're going to be fighting. You're going to be fighting with your wife and with your friend. So, tov lo sheves al pinas gag. It's better to go sit on the roof. I have to sneeze. Sometimes you feel it coming.
Not when you say it.
What? Once you say it, doesn't happen. It's only sudden. So it's better to go sit on the roof, to sit on the roof in solitude, then and be exposed to the elements and the cold, then the eshes midyonim umi beis chaver. According to Rashi, we have to translate the words backwards. Then entering the beis chaver, entering the house of your friend, in order to talk to his wife, which will ultimately result in midyonim. It's a very, you know, forced translation of the words. We're reading the words backwards, and each word is subject to interpretation. Better stay on the roof all alone than ubeis chaver, going into the home of your friend and talking to the eshes, talking to his wife, which will lead to midyonim. World War III will break out when everyone discovers what's going on. Let's see the words of Rashi one more time. Fine, that's it. Then Rashi quotes the famous Medrash. And this is a little Medrash. I'll talk about very quickly what the Medrash over here says. Medrash Agada. Umedrish Agada Niba Shesoif Ashrina Listalik Me Ali Shol Shaim Ke Eshes Midyonim. The Shechina will depart from the Shechina is the subject of this pasuk. It's going to depart from the Beis Hamikdash because they are the Klal Yisrael is called Hashem's wife. There are many Maimari Chazal that tell us that the relation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is a relation of a husband and a wife. Hashem is the husband and Klal Yisrael is the wife. The problem is we're not a good wife to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have an affair with someone else, with Avodah Zarah. The wife is not faithful to her husband. We have brought into the home another husband. Can you imagine? The husband comes home and he finds that there's another man living in the house. So how is the husband going to react? Well, that's exactly what we did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Beis HaMikdash. What does he find in the Beis HaMikdash? A tzelem. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's a pesel. There's an idol. So Hashem says, what's going on over here? Why has Klal Yisrael brought into my house an Avodah Zarah? My wife, Klal Yisrael, they're just contentious. They're just an Eshes Midyanim. They're a wife of strife. They're making trouble for me. And therefore Hashem says, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm going to go. The Shechina is going to depart from the Kodesh HaKodashim, and it's going to rest on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that the Shechina did not depart suddenly. The Shechina left the Beis HaMikdash in stages. And in fact, there were 10 stages. The first stage was it left the Kodesh HaKodashim to the Gag, to the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. And from the Gag, it went to the Harabayis, and it went to Yerushalayim, and it went here, went there. It distanced itself little by little from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here when it says the Gag, that was the first stage, the first step of the Shechina departing from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. See, let's finish with the Rashi. Beis Chaver, Bayis Shem Chabrin Boireim LaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis Chaver means the Beis HaMikdash. And the Chaver means companion. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was something else. There was a companion. What was the companion? Avodah Zarah, a Pesel. Bayis, the base bayish shemacharim by reim lakadosh baruch hu going tselim shamid menashe heichal Hashem and the tselim and menashe put up in heichal lakadosh baruch hu. Okay, I'll read these words very quickly. The word says type what it's supposed to refer to. It refers to. Give me one second. Let's see over here. Eser Masos, the Gemara Masech to Rosh Hashanah. Eser Masos, Nasa Shechina. There are 10 different journeys the Shechina took when it left Beis HaMikdash. Mimizbeach legag. It went from one of the journeys. It went from the Kodesh HaKadosh to the Mizbeach. It wasn't the first step. It went from the Mizbeach to the Gag. And it says, "Ha'im tov lo sheves al pinas gag, then being me eshes midyanim, better than being with Maklal Yisrael, who is my wife, who has brought upon me many quarrels, and better I should be on the gag than be in the base chover in the base hamigdash, which my people have attached chover to it." A pesel, an idol. They have brought idols into the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the interpretation of the Medrash. There is more. Yeah.
Time span between these stages.
No, I don't know. It was over time. It was over a period of time. Maybe it was over many years. Maybe it was over 80 years. Maybe it was over a period of time until the Shechina actually left the Beis HaMikdash. It didn't happen overnight. 10 stages. But one of the 10 stages was it went from the Mizbeach to the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Eishes Midyanim, he refers to Klal Yisrael, and the Beis Chaver refers to the Beis HaMikdash, which is Chaver, which has been joined with idols, people that have attached idols. Okay, one last Medrash on this pasuk, it tells this pasuk refers to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu wanted to be home with his father Yitzchak and Rivka, the Beis Chaver. Okay, he must have been a Yaki. Yitzchak must have been a Yaka. Chover, ever see a Yek and Aliyah? They get, it's like smicha. The German, the special smicha, a chover. Ben a chover. What? A chover. So the Yekas, they still have smicha, they call the chover. So the base chover is Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a chover. He was a Yekah. He had smicha. So he was a chover. Yaakov preferred to be in the base chover, but he had to leave because Esav wanted to kill him. So where did he go? He went to Alpinas Gag. He went to Lavan. Lavan, the Napra, was not very hospitable. He cheated Yaakov, had to work like a dog by Lavan. And Yaakov did not have much shelter. He lived Alpinas Gag, on the corner of a roof. That was his accommodations in the home of Lavan. But better be out there, by Lavan, then being me Eishes Midyanim. Now, it's not really clear what this means here. Me Eishes Midyanim, this refers to Esav. Maybe it means because when Yaakov Avinu went to go get a wife, I think when the Medrash Minu, Yaakov Avinu went to get a wife, Rivka and Yitzhak told him go to Lavan. What does the pasuk say? Vayar Esav. Esav saw that Yaakov went to go get a wife, so he also took a wife. So he took for himself Mochlas. He took for himself Mochlas Bas Yishmael Bas Nevoyos Yishmael. He took for himself another wife. So that wife, that was a very bad shidduch. That shidduch was a nice of a similar button, was not good for the best of Klal Yisrael, because it was the shidduch of Esav and Yishmael. Our two enemies united. Esav is our arch enemy, Yishmael is our arch enemy. It's bad enough to deal with one at a time, but when they join forces, that's even worse. So here was the Eshes Midyanim. Yaakov had to flee Esav when Esav went and he married his wives, which fortified his Kleich of Rishus. Even though he would have preferred to be in the Beis Chover, in the home of his father Yitzchak and Rivka, but it was Pikuach Nefesh. He had no choice. He had to go to Lavan. He went to Lavan. He was there, even though the accommodations were far from good. It was Balpinas Gag. All right, with that we will conclude. Beis Chover first to win. Yeah, Yitzchak was the Beis Chover. Yaakov would have preferred to be in the Beis.
It's better because you've gone into Beis
Chover
and Beis.
No, so we have to interpret the past. Break up the words. It's better to be in the Beis Chover by Yitzchak, but if he would be by Yitzchak, he would be vulnerable to the harm of the Eshes Midyanim, which refers to. Yeah. That's what the Medrash says. What?
How was Isaac related to you?
I don't even know anymore. I'm so mixed up. My father's mother.
Right. Your grandmother.
My father's mother. My grandmother. How many grandmothers do I have? My father's mother and Mosenson's mother, I think, are sisters.
Okay.
My grandmother and Mosenson, they're mishpach.
So you're like second cousins?
Once removed. A first cousin once removed, something like that. Yeah, once removed, yeah. Yeah, my father was close to them. I'm not all close to them. Some of my cousins I'm very close with. My second cousins,
yeah,
my first cousins.
Like generation. It's my generation.
It's more than that. It's just, you know, you're not in contact with them. You know, I have some cousins that I'm even more distantly, but I'm very close with them. Like Mamash Mishpacha, because I live next to them. So but him, I'm not in contact with him at all.
I daven by Midian Shabbos. We have Sfaradim.
And they take regular Ashkenazi aliyahs. They probably don't even go to a Sfarad. They go to a Sfarad shul at all? They go also.
Learning
yeshiva. Okay, so I guess that's
enough.
Avadi Yosef is very makeup. He says you can interchange.
I remember. I was in Israel at a bar mitzvah, one of my great nephews. And I got a little lead in this. Sefer Torah didn't look any different.
Didn't look any different?
No.
All right, I don't know.
And they leaned from it to, you know, was an Ashkenazi bar mitzvah.
And who he was Sfarad or who? What?
No, just the Sefer Torah was Sfarad.
It stood up? In the Holy Obed up? No, it had to be Velish. It's very different. I mean, it's Ksav Velish is a whole different Ksav. It's not square. It's round. Everything's very round. It looks almost like a Siddur. You open up not an art school Siddur, like, you know, the classic Siddurim. You open up the old Siddurim. That's what the Ksav looks like very much. The Ksav Ashuris is much more square. It's square. Thank you very much. Avad Yosef is very makel. I think in Eretz Yisrael everyone is very makel because it's such a big mishmash, such a mix today. Everything, the Sfarim, the Baruch Hashem, the Sfarim have grown by enormously.
Yeah, but they won't stop it. They very interesting in Israel. A lot of
your nurse
is, that's what they know.
Yeah, that's
because
there's so much, it's such a mix, there's such a mishmash, it's a melting pot. What?
Like my daughter, built the shul. Whoever goes up, yeah, that's what they got. Because they didn't want two shuls.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's continue.